Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. The final hour of the show today. Jumping for joy from Sealands Grove to Milton. Great to have you with us. We had two options in this half hour. We could either have Kevin talk about the joys of open wheel racing.
Always a good choice.
Or talk to Malcolm Moran in New Orleans again, on the Final Four.
You can't lose either way. You just can't lose either way.
Put it on the poll. Let's see how we do here.
I'm not going to make a poll about that.
Why? Are you a bit worried?
I think it might be just a little, you know, one-sided. And I don't want you to feel bad.
You don't want me to feel bad.
I don't want you to feel bad.
They've been all over my case. We want more Final Four stuff. Now we had a Paul Keels on. We're going to have Girardi on tomorrow. But we had to find somebody roaming the streets. We have found roaming Canal Street, working his way toward Jackson Square. Malcolm Moran, who, by the way, wins the Wade Award for Lifetime Achievement in Sports Writing, and justifiably so. And we bring Malcolm in now. Malcolm, let's start with Anthony Davis. A lot of people don't realize that, and a very balanced Kentucky team, this kid is fifth on the team in shots taken.
Why not?
I mean, that's the amazing part of it. He's fifth on the team in shots taken. Give us an idea. You mentioned the steel cage death match. Give us an idea of Kentucky and Louisville for the uninitiated that had never been around something like that before as to what it actually is like to see.
Well, first of all, you know, and I know this goes back a ways, but the two programs did not play one another for years because of the degree of animosity. And it wasn't until they were matched in a regional final at Knoxville in 83 that they had to play. And then the next year, and this is when teams could still play NCAA tournament games on their home court, the next year in 84, in the round of 16, Louisville played Kentucky at Lexington. And I remember noticing in the first couple of minutes of the game, Denny Crum gets up to contest a call, and suddenly, like, puts his hand against his head, and he's bleeding because somebody had thrown a coin, and he got hit in the head by a coin, and he's bleeding. And I remember sitting there and typing and thinking, this is different. You know, if you don't see coaches bleeding on a visiting floor very often. So, I mean, in terms of, you know, rating, like, you know, DEFCON 1 through 5, I mean, this is like DEFCON 15.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my observation is that, you know, as heated and as crazy as it can be when Duke plays Carolina, there still is a minimal amount of perspective involved, really, like when you get right down to it. When U of L plays UK, there is no perspective in the building. I mean, it's Auburn, Alabama on wood.
Adolph Rupp and Joe B. Hall refused to play them. And Louisville started gaining success, and Kentucky then really did not want to play them. I think that's what it comes down to. When they started getting success, they really didn't want, they didn't want to play them before, but when Louisville got success under Denny Crum, they really didn't want to play them. Rick Pitino wears a red jacket to the Kentucky Derby. Why? Because it makes the Kentucky fans mad. I mean, it's that simple. That's what it comes down to down there. Now,
and
And Patino's been in a great mood the entire time because, look, I mean, Malcolm, you and I both know he didn't expect to be here.
Correct. I mean, here's the unfinished sentence that I've been wrestling with in the last couple of days, especially since I got here yesterday, and you begin to feel what it's like in town. My question would be, a University of Kentucky team has not been under this much pressure to win a championship since blank. I would say it goes back to 78 when, if you remember, Dave Anderson, who was then doing sports at the Times at the New York Times, took a lot of heat from the Kentucky backers by writing about just the joyless nature of the response of the players when they beat Duke for the national championship, because the level of expectation had gone so far beyond any reasonable norms that if they sounded and looked as if they were just relieved and they wanted to move on, you know, rather than the thrill that you would hope that a college athlete would have for achieving that level of success.
In fact, they were far more energetic, overjoyed in 75 because they had knocked off Indiana and stopped Indiana's undefeated season to get to the Final Four than they were in 78 when they won it.
Right. And now, see, the difference to me is because of the nature of the industry and how it's all changed, that was an infinitely more seasoned and mature group going through that. I mean, that was Rick Roby and, you know, in a very mature group. I mean, these guys, in many cases, just got here.
Right.
And for this kind of expectation to rest on their shoulders,
right.
to a certain extent, almost seems almost unfair.
Yeah, that was Roby, Givens, Phillips, I think, was a part of that group. You know, and I would think before that, I think if you were to take the sentence one step further, maybe even the greatest pressure they faced in 66 against Texas Western.
Well, for all kinds of different reasons.
Completely different reasons. And in part, too, because of who the head coach was at the time, too, Adolph Rupp.
Right.
So now
it's a fascinating thing to look at because I can't remember anything quite like it in the modern history of the event.
Yet they're going to be the favorite going into this. And the reason they're going to be the favorite going into it is that if you look at the body of work for the entire season, they've had the better body of work.
Right. Right. But as you know, in a moment-to-moment business, and that's why I've always been grateful that I've never had any interest in wagering on these things because it's so unpredictable. But I can tell you that if I was a Louisville fan, knowing that the teams had already played, so there's not going to be any mythology about this. Not just from basketball, but from the football angle too, how different it can be once you get on the field or the court compared to the tape that you've watched. Well, I mean, that's not a factor that Louisville has to worry about. So, and the fact that they played reasonably well in that defeat, if you're Rick Pitino, I don't think you can feel like you have a much better situation to be sitting in going into Saturday.
I don't think so either. And not only that, but we know what Anthony Davis has done. We know how many shots he's blocked. But one of the few teams in the country that's going to match up with him inside, shot block for shot block, is on the other side in Louisville. Rick Pitino knows he goes into it with that X factor that allows. We know how great their defense is. I mean, statistically, they're number one in adjusted, you know, for the uninitiated. They can gamble more because of the big guy back there.
Right.
So now you get that. Do you think in Saturday's game that the first 10 minutes or so are going to give you an idea as to whether Kentucky's fears are realized?
it'll be an indicator. I mean, I think we were talking about this in class recently, just the whole notion of the different ways that information flows from a high-profile game now. And the question was, is it worth following Twitter feeds? And are some reporters just kind of doing it because they've been ordered to and they're flying the flag? Or, I mean, and here's where this applies to your question. I mean, what I would be interested in is if you have somebody like Jerry Tipton, who's been around the Kentucky program for years and has followed a team like this through this entire journey and would be able to recognize body language or the eye contact on the floor. I mean, is there a sense of being uptight in the first 10 minutes that an experienced beat reporter hasn't seen over the course of the whole season? And that's what I would be looking for.
And I agree with that. There's nothing like personal contact. We are in an era of social media where a Facebook posting, a tweet, and suddenly people run with it. But I'm sure you have felt that I'll speak from my personal experience. My better interviews have been face-to-face, able to read somebody's eyes, able to read their inflection, and able to get a much better sense than you ever could from a black-and-white word.
Absolutely. I mean, it's what brings the word to life. And I think there's also a parallel experience when these guys are on the floor and how they respond. Like, for all the talent of this freshman-dominated group, of all the achievements they've racked up at a very early stage in their development, the easiest thing to forget is they've never been through this before. Now, this is all new to them. Now maybe they're good enough that won't be a factor and it won't matter. But it's so easy. I mean, you could say that about certain groups in the NFL that grow together to a point where they reach a Super Bowl. It's just a different experience when the lights are shining their brightest. I mean, look at how well the LSU football program played all year, and then look what they did in this building on that Monday night. I mean, it's so new, and these players are so relatively young, and, you know, because of the way the whole system tends to depersonalize them. And it's almost like we're turning this whole thing into some kind of giant fantasy league. It's easy to forget that they're young people with uncertainties and fears and apprehensions, and that they're just better at hiding them than most of us.
If it's a best of five, I think there's no doubt Kentucky wins a best of five, because no matter what would happen in the first one, you would settle down, make your adjustments, and I think settle into a series. But right. When it's one and done and you have to have it during that 2 hours,
right,
that makes this a completely different proposition.
That's why it's a great event. I mean, Dean Smith used to say all the time, how much money do you think the NBA could make if the Celtics and Lakers met in a single elimination final? And he's right. I mean, but that's why this event has become what it has become, because it allows for the bolt of lightning. I mean, does Villanova beat Georgetown best of seven? Does Duke beat Vegas best of seven? And there's no way. But it doesn't matter, because that's the nature of the event.
Dean Smith also said that when he looked at the enormity of the NCAA tournament, he did not want his team to think about winning six games and a six-game winning streak.
Right.
He broke it down into, I'll just use various locations. Let's win that two-game Syracuse tournament, like it's an in-season tournament. Let's win the two games Prudential Center tournament. Now let's go out and win the two-game Superdome tournament.
Right.
This is different because Kentucky's won that two, but this is not a two-game tournament because of who they're facing in the semifinals. Completely different mentality.
And I think part of the thing that got my attention the other day was when he took them to the movies because he didn't want them watching games. And I think that was part of his way of dealing with the enormity of it as it has been created by all these people out here. And when he was at UMass, I don't ever remember him taking those guys to the movies to avoid watching tournament games. I mean, they were enjoying the ride.
Right. And
he took a program that was Nowheresville with Edgar Padilla and Carmelo Trevieso in his backcourt, and he's going toe-to-toe with, you know, one of the last great senior and junior-driven college teams, the Kentucky team in 96. I mean, they had a joyride. I mean, this doesn't feel like a joyride to me.
No. And, in fact, they started out that ride in Providence, and they stayed in the same hotel Penn State did in Providence. Mm-hmm. And they were in Malcolm. I was there. I saw them. I saw Cal. I saw Camby. I saw the backcourt. And they were loose, happy, free. They were not a pressure group. And I could tell just being around them at the games, but being around them in the lobby, too, that they were not.
But when you think about it, that was a different world. I mean, it doesn't seem that long ago for you and I, but pretty soon there are going to be freshmen on the Penn State campus that were born in 1996.
Right.
And when you think of the reality that social media plays, I mean, I can give you another for instance. I mean, all four teams are staying downtown. And I don't know if that's a first, but I don't remember that happening here in past years. I mean, Georgetown stayed in Biloxi the 1 year, and by choice.
Yes, so, but that's John Thompson.
Right. And that's the way he preferred to do business, and that's okay. But I mean, you've got, in the case of the Louisville, Kentucky fan bases, you've got two rabid fan bases that, as Keith Jackson would say, don't like each other, and only one Bourbon Street, and camera phones, and, I mean, if a player looks at a fan from another school cross-eyed and words are exchanged, people on the other side of the planet could know about it in 10 seconds. I mean, think about the position that puts young athletes in.
Now, there are also 28 individuals that could care less about the intense rivalry of Kentucky and Louisville, and that's Kansas and Ohio State and their players. And they may be, quote, the bit players in this passion play, but the winner becomes a primetime player on Monday night. And
well,
Kansas
absolutely.
And Kansas has as passionate a fan base as anybody does. And Ohio State's not that bad either.
Absolutely. Well, in San Antonio in 08, I would say, I mean, just in on the Saturday afternoon before people started going inside, just judging by what you saw in the Riverwalk, in Kansas dominated. I mean, there were 7 or 8 Kansas shirts for any other 2 shirts from any of the other schools that Saturday. Now, I mean, part of it could have been because it was easier for them to get to, but Kansas took over the town.
You have 4 coaches. Patino's won it. Cal's been to the championship game with Memphis. Mata's been to the Final Four. Self has won it. Do you put a price on coaching staffs that have at least been through the atmosphere of it? And I mean the atmosphere of you check the team into the hotel, the fans are going nuts. The team, of course, has to go through the regimen of having everybody roam around town and also the pregame press conference, the open practice, things like that. How much of a premium do you put, Malcolm, on the fact that you have coaches that have at least been through it before?
It helps. I mean, I don't – the guy who kind of reminded me that it's not an essential – is the way Brad Stevens handled everything 2 years ago.
Right.
You would have thought that he had done this for 20 years. I mean, he handled everything, from my vantage point, flawlessly. And I think the reason that his team played so well is because the players followed his lead. I mean, he was so poised, and he just didn't seem rattled by anything.
Malcolm, thanks so much. Appreciate the time. I know we have to go to a break. Malcolm Moran joining us from New Orleans. You know, Kevin, you can always tell the ones that never panic before big events.
Okay. And that's by the relaxed atmosphere around them?
Absolutely. They don't get panicked by anything. Don't you think?
I don't know how you could be at the Final Four and not be a little panicked or butterflied.
I don't know. I could.
I couldn't. No way. No way. I mean, just the atmosphere alone. I mean, part of it is like you said, you have to take it as one one bracket at a time, one region at a time. But now there is only one more. It's the Final Four.
Right. Well, so I talked about it in my class the other day. I said, when the moment arrives and you have to, on the air, handle the moment, you need to be the calmest person in the place.
Not an easy thing to do.
You may sound extremely excited at the moment because you're trying to capture the excitement, but you have to be the calmest person there, and you have to know exactly what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Calm and not excited are two things that I've never been really good at not doing. I'm usually a little hyper and very excited.
More of the Steve Jones Show and more intriguing open wheel talk. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that we were going to go to, you know.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not taking you to the Indy 500 now. That's all there is to it. You're not going. I'll just go myself.
Oh, if I wanted to go, you'd take me. News is next with Matt Farron here on WKOK.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to make the month of March Sunbury Motors Hyundai Month. During the month of March, test drive any new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai, and you'll receive a $15 Brewers Outlet gift card. Why should you test drive a new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai? Well, listen to these awards. The 2012 Hyundai Sonata is the winner of Lowest Cost of Ownership by Kelley Blue Book. And the 2012 Hyundai Elantra was named Best Car Under $20,000 by AOL.auto.com. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. And every Hyundai purchased at Sunbury Motors Hyundai receives an additional set of tires. If you're looking for a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, or at sunburymotors.com.
Hi, this is Dave Moyer for the Benjamin T. Moyer Furniture Store in Sunbury. And I'm as proud as I can be to say that our 77th anniversary celebration goes through March. And now, with savings of 35 to 50% off factory retail prices, a set of Schiffman bedding will fit sensibly into your family budget. While sleeping is a requirement, luxury is a choice. Whether it's a Bancroft mattress for $159 or the top of their line, Schiffman's dedication to quality can be seen and felt in every piece of bedding they make. That's why we say, memory foam, forget it. A no-flip mattress, not at Moyer's. We won't sell you half a mattress with only one usable side. A bedding purchase is a commitment, good or bad, that will affect you for years. Before you buy any new bedding, you must first visit our website at moyersfurniture.com and take a virtual tour through the Schiffman factory. Then visit our in-store sleep gallery with 14 sets of bedding for you to lay on and try. Our 77th anniversary savings continue through March at the Benjamin T. Moyer Furniture Store, 35 South 4th Street in Sunbury.
Shamokin Dam Health Center, designed with you in mind.
This is Dr. Dunnigan from Shamokin Dam Health Center. We believe a combination of care is the best approach to total health. As we continue to expand on the services we provide, we are now offering massage therapy as a part of our natural approach to help you stay healthy. Our licensed therapists provide individual treatment plans to address your needs and work together with our integrated staff to restore optimal health and eliminate pain, all in one convenient location. To schedule your appointment, call 743-4333. That's 743-4333. Shamokin Dam Health Center, promoting tomorrow's health today.
Shamokin Dam Health Center, designed with you in mind.
taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Our thanks to Malcolm Moran for joining us from New Orleans, and Joe Battista, who joined us here at the Sunbury Motor Studio at the Chateau earlier. Now it's Kevin, me, and you. 1-800-795-9565. Two practices, by the way, in the books for the Nittany Lions. Third one Saturday. Kevin wants to talk open wheel wrestling, racing.
Open wheel wrestling. Now that would be entertaining. You might.
And also this story, Baylor coach Kim Mulkey has Bell's palsy. The Lady Bears play Stanford women's Final Four Sunday. University did not say if Mulkey's condition would interfere with coaching the team. So she knows when they were in Des Moines last week at the regional that her tongue felt strange. Yesterday she noticed that when she smiled, only her left side of her mouth would smile. And also that her right eye was drooping and she could not hear properly out of her right ear. So the trainer, Alex Olson, examined her before practice, decided she needed immediate medical care instead of going to practice. Bell's palsy is a form of facial paralysis from a dysfunction of a facial nerve, which results in the inability to control facial muscles on the affected side. The condition usually has a rapid onset of partial or complete paralysis. Most cases go away completely within weeks or months. So they're treating her right now with antiviral medication along with oral steroids to reduce the inflammation of the facial nerve. They hope she can coach Sunday. Now, I briefly watched Tennessee play Baylor the other night, and she wasn't what I noticed. What I noticed was Pat Summon, unfortunately. And her assistants, of course, are running the show and so forth. And everyone, she's been open about it. She's been diagnosed with dementia. It was sad to watch the other night. I could not tell if she knew what was going on. And I don't want to be I don't want to step out of bounds. I looked at her and I was like, you wondered. And I've seen that look before because my father had Alzheimer's before he passed away in 2004. It's hard, very hard to see. So, well, I think they have to make a decision there. I'm sorry to say.
Now, unfortunately, she's been the face of the program for so long that, you know, it wouldn't be the same not having her on the bench, but. You know, I understand what you're saying.
Face of what? It doesn't help.
Right. No, that's what I mean. I understand what you're saying.
I don't think it helps in anything. I don't think it helps the fans going to the game to see her. I don't think it helps the players. It doesn't help. Regardless of whether she's helping coaching or not, which I don't know. But I'm watching that and I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness. I've seen that look before. It was sad. Danny Manning's going to become the head coach at Tulsa. Now, get this. Money was one of the reasons for Doug Wojcik to be let go. Because they've been losing money the last few years. They say their season ticket base is down 35% and their financials on basketball are down 45%. And they've been winning. He had 421 seasons, 3 postseason appearances, but nothing in the NCAA tournament. And money was a big reason why. They want to get people back in the seats. How about that? Now, Tulsa's had a great tradition. Bill Self did a great job there. Tubby Smith did a great job there. Nolan Richardson did a great job there. Now Danny Manning takes over as the head coach. One 1-800-795-9565. We'll take whatever calls you want on any topic here down the stretch. Penn State football, two practices in the books. First time with pads on Saturday, by the way. You have to have three spring practices without pads. They've done that twice now. They'll put on pads for the first time on Saturday. The coaches' clinic is tomorrow, and then they'll go from there. So that's two so far in the books. And 13 more to go. We can talk about that. NCAA Final Four, we can talk about that. NIT Championship game is tonight. Minnesota against Stanford. I've already outlined, I mean, the great benefit I see from playing in an NIT. I mean, you don't go through your season with the goal of getting to the NIT. But it's when you get to the championship game, there's great benefit. You've won a lot of one-and-done games to get there. Kevin, anybody warming up on the track right now?
No. not yet. They still have another day or so yet before trials start.
For what?
For the Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama.
Yeehaw. And where is that going to be?
Alabama.
I have that part down.
No, wait. If the shoe was on the other foot, you would not have said the same thing.
What town in Alabama?
You know you would have.
What town in Alabama? Well, no, I mean, it didn't come off well. All right.
Birmingham.
Go around Legion Field how many times?
I don't think they go around Legion Field at all. It's a really interesting track, though. It's a really interesting track. Some interesting straightaways, really tight hairpins, good passing zones. And in your case, a passing out zone, as it would appear.
Wow.
I know. You're not interested in anything until May 27th. I realize that.
Yes, that's very true, and I speak for America on that. All right, and the television ratings back me up.
They're getting better. Ratings over the last year have been higher than they have been over the last several.
They could not get worse.
That's probably true as well.
Yes, it is. All right. Now, I want to give you an interesting factor on the game Saturday, especially in Kentucky-Louisville.
All right.
What factor wouldn't you think of, Kevin, that could be a factor?
What factor could I think of that would be a factor in the game?
Yep.
In Kentucky-Louisville?
Yep.
Well, the first thing I would think of is the fact that it's a rivalry game.
Pick the position of the court.
The position of the court?
Yes.
How would that be a factor in the game? It's not on a ship or anything again, is it?
No, let me explain.
All right. Please explain this one.
Okay. It is in the center of the arena.
Okay.
Depth perception and shooting background are going to be absolutely critical.
Okay. Now, I've seen that on big courts that have, at the high school level, on big courts that have like a big runoff area. Before the wall.
Not like this.
Well, this is enough, but I'm saying an example of what you're talking
about.
Now,
they will have seats. They will have seats all around it, okay? So, understand that. I have done games in domes. I've done four games in the Superdome. I've done a game in the Georgia Dome. I've done a couple of games in the Carrier Dome. In the Carrier Dome, they put the court in the end zone. And it's surrounded pretty well. Not bad. Works. Game I did in the Georgia Dome, same thing. They put the court in the end zone and roll the seats across, take care of the one sideline, bunch it up pretty good. Not bad. The last time I did a game, The last time I did a game in the Superdome, They put the court cornered to the end zone and surrounded it. And actually, it was a pretty, rather, considering we were in the Superdome, a rather intimate field. The idea was to get 24, 25,000 in there, which they did. The first time I ever did a game in the Superdome was the 1984 Sugar Bowl basketball classic. It was Virginia, New Orleans, Alabama, Penn State. Penn State played Virginia, and they played New Orleans. They had the court against the sideline, rolled the seats from the other side all the way over, and essentially had nothing in the end zone because it was in the middle. It was up against the sideline. The depth perception was horrible. Take a shot. I mean, there's nobody behind. There's nobody behind the basket. It's plexiglass. And everybody had trouble adjusting to it. I mean, the Georgetown, North Carolina deal in 82 is the same thing. All these Georgetown fans were up waving their arms in the end zone. Okay? 110 feet away. Irrelevant.
A little bit futile.
Totally. Now, they will surround the court with seats. But this is under the new thing that they have put in the NCAA where they're trying to get as many people in, they center the court now. And for Louisville, Kentucky, Kansas, and Ohio State, one of the biggest things they'll have to adjust to and that open practice that each one of them is going to have tomorrow is going to be critical to not just get out there and have fun and goof around and the whole thing in front of everybody and enjoy the moment, but you have to get used to the background. It is different. You play all season one way, and now you have this. Now, the court will be surrounded by seats. But you still have a depth perception that is completely different than anything they've faced so far. So there.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I just didn't realize they put it in the
It started in Detroit at Ford Field in 2009.
That's what I was going to ask.
First time they ever did. First time they ever centered it.
Yeah, because I've seen it, like you had said before, you know, offset a little bit, but that answered that question.
Yes, that was the first time. To get maximum amount of people in the building. And they'll be able to do, I mean, you'll be able to get 78,000 people in there, 80,000 people in there. And for the most part, almost everybody can see the court. Now, this isn't
With a pair of binoculars, you know.
I'll say that 75% of the seats will be really good seats. 25% won't be. It beats, though, what they did the UCLA-Houston game in 1968, the famous game where Elvin Hayes and Houston beat UCLA, the college basketball game that probably put modern college basketball on the television map. They played at the Astrodome in Houston. They had 65,000 people. The court was absolutely in the center, but there was nothing around it. There were no seats. They hadn't quite mastered that part yet. I mean, if you look at they pull back, you see the court in the middle of, and where are the fans? Houston won the game 70-69. They then played again in the Los Angeles Sports Arena in the Final Four. UCLA adjusted 101-69. We'll come back with a little bit more of the Steve Jones Show after this.
Your fuel economy headquarters is Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. SMC has the 40-mile-per-gallon 2012 Ford Focus on sale as low as $15,680. And Sunbury Motors has over 20 to choose from. The fuel-sipping 2012 Ford Fiesta gets up to 40 mpgs and is slashed to $13,880. Pick from over 30 of the most fuel-efficient SUV, the 28-mile-per-gallon 2012 Ford Escape, and they're reduced to as low as $18,950 during the spring sales event. Sunbury Motors has America's most fuel-efficient generation truck. The Ford F-150 EcoBoost. Take $6,000 off over 20 EcoBoost trucks in stock. Every new Ford at SMC comes with a full tank of gas and an extra set of tires. Plus, now through the 31st, get a $250 gas card. Financing as low as 0% for up to 60 months and savings up to $9,000 makes Sunbury Motors the clear choice for your next new Ford. Proudly serving the Susquehanna Valley since 1915. SMC. Sunbury Motor Company. In the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Prior sales excluded.
It's madness. That's what you'll say when you come to Shemmock's Furniture in Caltmont during their March inventory reduction madness. You'll save a minimum of $100 off every in-stock sofa. Shemmock's has over 250 recliners in stock, and they are all on sale. There's drastic discounts on all remaining 2011 Serta mattress sets, plus much more. It's madness. Shemmock's has quality name brand furniture at discount prices. There's over 50 manufacturers to choose from, including many made in the USA brands. Remember, you get 1 year no interest financing and always free delivery, setup, and removal of old furniture. Hurry into the March inventory reduction madness at Shemmock's. Shemmock's Furniture on Route 61 in Caltmont, at Shemmock's.com, and on Facebook. Since 1915, we sell happiness.
Once again, the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, the Daily Item, and the stations of Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation are honoring area high school seniors as outstanding young Americans. These students have excelled in many areas in both the classroom and their communities. Congratulations to Aiden McDonald of Danville Area Junior Senior High School, Andrew Fox from Lewisburg High School, Meadowbrook Christian Academy's Becky Crawford, and Wyatt Ebright from Midwest High School. The Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, Daily Item, and the stations of Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation would also like to mention these students who, like the group just named, have been lauded as outstanding young Americans. Mifflinburg High School's Ryan McNally, Shelby Durr of the Northumberland Christian School, Jessica Davis of Selins Grove High School, Andrew Eister of Shikellamy High School, and Isaac Richard of Sun Area Technical Institute. Here's a sincere wish for all the best in the future from the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, the Daily Item, and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Every day, get expert insight on the market and the economy and how both can impact your finances and investments with the Wall Street Journal Report on WKOK. You'll also get coverage of major global stories, political events, medical breakthroughs, emerging technology, and more. Listen for the Wall Street Journal Report weekday mornings at 25 after and 5 minutes before the hour from 6 to 8:30. Then, hear more insightful coverage weekday afternoons from 5 to 7. Weekend mornings, catch the report Saturdays in the 9 o'clock hour and Sundays in the 10 o'clock hour. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Welcome back. Final segment of the show. Getting a lot of tweets and Facebook messages saying we want Kevin to talk more about open wheel racing. And I apologize. I am not getting to the topics that that Kevin's friends over at Cracker Barrel want to talk about.
I realize I'm in the minority. You don't have to remind me. I'm very well aware that I am in the minority.
What?
I'm very well aware that I'm in the minority when it comes to, you know, my racing choices. NASCAR is much more popular in this region. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Pocono's not that far away.
Yes.
Where, by the way, open wheels did run for a long time. Anyway,
yes, they did.
Anyway, website. Poll question still up for one more day. Who should be the Penn State starting quarterback? We left other up there. But Matt McGloin, Rob Bolden, Paul Jones, and other. And McGloin leads right now with 40% of the vote.
Okay. Well done.
So we'll leave that up there for another day, but Steve is going to come up with another brilliant, brilliant question that we'll have over the weekend.
Yeah, no, I mean, that, you know, somebody has to.
Well, unfortunately, the pressure's on now.
No, I'll come up with something. It's no big deal. Well, I mean, who's going to win the Final Four? Yeah, four That's choices, easy. For goodness sakes.
That's an easy one, though. I mean, that's an easy one to use, is what I mean. I was hoping for something a little deeper.
A little deeper?
Yeah, something a little deeper.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
Go to Facebook. Go to the Steve Jones Show on Facebook if you have a suggestion for our poll that might be a little deeper than everybody
else. Fine. Let's go back to the original poll that had the most hits on it.
Oh, no, not again. She's not coming back until Monday.
Should Sarah Bartlett be the co-host of the show?
She's not coming back until Monday.
I think it's a... It didn't go well for you.
It was for a while. Then it didn't go well after that. But
it went well for what? Once your family was done.
Yeah, that was the end of it at that point. Yeah, thanks.
I mean, you were cooked.
Thanks.
Cooked, fried, and stewed. It just didn't go well.
Oh, well. Oh, here's a great comment from Roger Goodell today. Did you hear this one? Super Bowl L will be spectacular. That's great.
Super Bowl 50, huh?
Shouldn't it be? They'll award it sometime in the fall, no later than a year from now.
Hmm.
Which one's the one in New York?
It's 2014, whatever.
2014, okay.
So it's 48.
48, 49, yeah.
It's New Orleans coming up.
Right.
For 47. Then 48 would be New York.
I'm not completely against a Super Bowl in a climate where football weather is football weather. I mean, I know the talk from everybody is, well, you know, you want them to play on a neutral field. Well, you know what? It rains sometimes, too, in the Super Bowl.
Well, Peyton Manning and the Colts beat the Bears in a driving rainstorm in Miami.
Right. I mean, it rains sometimes. Why not play a Super Bowl in the snow?
It may not snow. It may be a nice day. Look how nice it's been here.
That's
in
a good point.
Recent 2 weeks. It can
may
be very
actually
nice.
Be great. Yeah.
But I will say this. Why do you build a $1.3 billion stadium in New Jersey and not have a retractable roof?
Oh, I think the answer to that is because it's football fans there. I mean, I think you'll find that a lot of true diehard football fans would rather sit out in the frigid cold to watch a game than sit in a dome.
Well, you can open it up all the time. You can open it up often. I mean, the reason, for example, in Glendale, they'll close the roof sometime is not because it's too hot.
Well, I do like the idea of having, you know, being able to play a grass field, first off, indoors, and then having the retractable dome idea. I like that.
I said retractable. I didn't say build a dome.
Oh, okay. All right.
I said, because there are no dome stadiums anymore. All the new ones that are being built are retractable domes.
But still, I mean, are you going to close the stadium every time it snows? And that takes some of the football element out of the game.
I understand that. But at the same time, one of the reasons I'm doing that is not because of the game. I'm doing that for the fans. Okay, that's why I'm closing the roof. I'm not closing the roof because of the game. I'm closing the roof because of the fans.
See, I'm the type that if you're a football fan, it doesn't matter what the weather is going to be. I mean, you know, you want weather that is going to be football weather. 80 degrees and sunny is not a way to watch a game.
They haven't decided yet on the BCS. I'm plus one yet. But my understanding is the consensus right now is to not play the semifinals on neutral sites. But the consensus is now to play on home sites right on Christmas week.
Ooh. Florida State's not happy.
Well, I would think any SEC school wouldn't be.